Welcome to The Fiddle Leaf Effect, the show where digital marketing meets real life leadership. I'm your host, Emma Hushka, founder, strategist, and woman on a mission to grow bold businesses and break down barriers. Here, we talk about what's really working in marketing while also digging into the challenges women face in business and life. This is a space to learn, lead, and make room for yourself and for others. Pull up a seat. You belong here. Welcome to Marketers Marketing Marketing, where two seasoned marketers get real about the surprisingly tricky business of marketing our own businesses. I'm Emma from Fiddle Leaf Marketing, and I'm joined today by Danny from Mise en Plan. Between the two of us, we've helped hundreds of businesses grow through strategic planning and paid advertising. But today, we're flipping the script and talking about the behind-the-scenes struggles that come with marketing our own businesses. If you're a small business owner, even a fellow marketer, if you're feeling stuck, second-guessing your message, wondering why things just aren't working like they should, this is definitely for you. We're going to share advice we give our clients, the reminders we need to be giving ourselves, and talking about foundational clarity, why it's so hard to see your own blind spots, and what support looks like in those different stages of marketing. So welcome, Danny. I'm so excited to talk with you today. We found each other on a Facebook small business owner group, ironically, and connected on the fact that those groups aren't necessarily the most beneficial, but it was so cool to meet you. And, you know, we've been meeting over the last several months, and I loved this idea of, like, let's talk about just marketing and how hard it is, even as professional marketers, to market ourselves. And, you know, I think business owners that are trying to do this are going to resonate here. Of course, marketers are likely going to too. But let's start off with, and actually first, can you do an intro, you know, tell anyone that's listening, you know, just a little bit more about yourself and in your business, and then we can kind of get into the good stuff.
Sure. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here. And I've been so excited about this conversation because let me tell you, every day I'm like, marketing as a marketer is so hard. And I know we've had that conversation before. So I've been marketing a long time, and now I'm a strategic marketing advisor, and I specifically work with founders who are working on building that next version of their business. So that often means, and I'm sure we'll get into this, that they are too close to their own business to really be able to see the true brilliance behind what they're doing. And so I'm there to help them figure out what that idea, what that next stage really should look like, who it's for, how to message those people and position your new idea or whatever it is that you're moving into, and coming up with a really great strategy for how to get in front of those ideal people so that you can actually get into market a lot faster than just sitting there and noodling on it for a long time by yourself.
Yeah. Awesome. And again, I know what I was so excited about when I heard that is, you know, there's a lot of businesses that come, you know, to the paid realm that, you know, we're working through that as we go into paid. And it's like, it's, we magnify what's there, you know, with paid advertising, whether it's working or it's not. And what's so awesome about what you do, and what makes me so excited as the person that really helps grow businesses, is you have to have that solid foundation, because again, we're going to magnify it, whatever it is. So again, I'm excited for businesses to hear about you and what you provide, because I think there's just, again, so much value, and especially for, you know, the next step of growth. So let's talk about the curse of knowledge. And I know you can resonate, but sometimes when you know so much about your own business, it's hard to think about what it would be like to be a potential customer or client that doesn't know as much as you know. But like, you felt some of this difficulty of, like, you're so, and you already said it, like, you're so close to it, you know your industry, you know your product, whatever it is, so well. This difficulty of that messaging when you are, you know, when it's so close to you, like, what have you seen with people, and what's your own experience with them?
I mean, I think we are all way too close to our own stuff to really be able to see, you know, the trees from the forest, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I think the things that I see happen most often is not just people being so close to their own stuff that they're not seeing opportunity, which is a lot of the clients that I work with, but when they find themselves struggling, instead of, and this is something that I have like tattooed on my forehead, on my forearm, everywhere, is that we tend to start thinking a lot about ourselves, or we start thinking about our customers and how we want our customers to interact with us, but we're not taking enough time to actually be thinking like our customers. So we're thinking about our customers, but we're not thinking like our customers. And I think that that is where there's a lot of a bit of friction in the messaging and in the talking, is we're too close to ourselves. We're thinking about us, but we're not taking a step away and really thinking about it like the people who matter most to us and who we're doing all of this for at the end of the day.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And that's something, even, you know, with paid ads that I talk to clients about, is, and I try to like check myself on, is like, even with ads, like once you're, you know, that message is really getting in front of people, is it's so hard to not create a message or an ad that would resonate with you, even if you're not your potential customer. And like the amount of times I've had to check myself, even with like my website, again, as a marketer, I want to build a website that I would like and engage with, but am I my potential customer? Like, am I a marketer? Am I a fit? No, my audience is not marketers. Typically it's small business owners. So, you know, not only the not doing it, but also not favoring your own preferences visually or, you know, through text, to, you know, really speak to that customer. So I think the way you said that of like, look at who they are, but like be in their shoes, is, you know, something even again, as marketers, I think we struggle with.
Right. And that right there is all of the curse of knowledge of ourselves, but there's also the curse of knowledge of so much happening around us that often makes us step away from who we are or what our true message needs to be. And maybe it's a little bit of like comparisonitis. There's so many
biz
influencers out there telling you exactly the perfect formula to get from, you know, zero to 30K months or whatever, $1 million, seven figures, whatever it is, in just 2 weeks. LOL. And I think that confusion with what is possible, with what we know, with what we're trying to do, can always be very overwhelming. And that overwhelm is really what I think gets us stuck in our own way when it comes to actually getting the progress that we need to 100% be successful.
Absolutely. And I love that. I mean, getting in your own way. And I think that's what so many people, just in general, but especially like business owners. And I'm glad you brought up comparison, because, you know, and I know you and I have talked about this, but like how hard it is to not see, whether or not it's a business in your space, your industry, a friend, anybody, or like you said, those influencers. And now that LinkedIn, I'm sure, you know, some people on here know those LinkedIn influencers that you see, you know, you have this idea of their success, or, you know, everything that they're doing, and probably then their happiness, or, you know, they're doing all the right things, and then you compare yourself. So again, I know we've talked about this. I think we both are guilty of comparing ourselves to other marketers or other businesses. And then you get in your own way because you're thinking you need to do it that way. But just because that's what they're doing or what works for them doesn't mean at all that that's what you should be doing. But it's just like so many other things in life where it's so hard to not compare yourself to other people. So what, I know it's a big topic, but what are your, what's your experience, or, you know, your thoughts on how we can get out of our own way when it comes to comparison?
Well, comparison wise, I think honestly, it's just really thinking about what matters to you. And this is a conversation that I have, I think, with every single client of mine. There's this element of confidence that really needs to be bolstered within ourselves. Every once in a while, I feel a little bit like a life coach. In fact, sometimes I call my sessions with my clients marketing therapy, because it really is like, you've got this, girl, like you can do this. But when it comes to comparison, I think it really helps to actually, as much as I love people getting inspiration and learning, constantly learning, there is a limit to where you just have to put your blinders on. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's where one of the core frameworks that I like to focus on, in fact, mise en plan, is literally based off of the concept of mise en place, which is where chefs, you know, before the dinner service, they sit and they break down all the individual ingredients and they organize them so that when they go to cook, they have exactly what they need and they can put them together to have something really tasty without all the waste, without all the everything else. They have what they need and it's easy to do. And I believe that businesses should be doing the same thing. And I think that that's where those blinders really come in of like, instead of worrying about what everyone else is doing, think about where you are now, where you're trying to go, and all those individual ingredients, which are what you're offering, who you're offering it to, what they need, what your message is, and your brand as a whole, your voice, all of the magical pieces that make you you, to create that strategy or that unique recipe for yourself to get to your own version of success and not what anybody else's is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's, again, just good advice in general, but especially, and I love that you said, you know, like a marketing therapist, because, you know, I think both marketing and like business owners, like this is, and just like you said, it's like that confidence and so much of what, you know, with Fiddleleaf, I love working with women and mama and businesses for that exact reason, because I think especially women, you know, oftentimes can lack some of that confidence in general, but then to put yourself out there and start a business, you know, just like you said, talk about, you know, really having that pressure to, you know, because a lot of times you are the brand or you are, you know, responsible for having the confidence in your own business or your product or your service to sell that to other people. And like, that's a big thing. And to not have, you know, support in that or guidance in that, which a lot of business owners don't, you know, again, it does take a special skill set or, you know, expertise and support to do that. So again, I think we get along so well too, many reasons, but especially we just like really see, you know, what the core of this is, and that people, you know, people are businesses and people are behind these businesses. And like, that's the most important thing to get out and helping people get to that. And like you said, kind of stepping away from that and looking at it from a third party, if you will, to help them there.
Absolutely. And to add on to that point that you just made about really about authenticity. In fact, I did a big thing at the beginning of this year, which is like my big predictions for 2025. And one of the core themes was like authenticity is going to be the theme of this year, with AI coming out, with all of these like messaging, blurring, and people copying each other. You being you is just such an undervalued aspect of your business. Even if your business, you aren't your business, just being authentic in your own way. Is just absolutely invaluable.
Absolutely. And then I think it helps it build that confidence, because you are who you are displaying, and it builds, you know, because you're not hiding, you're trying to be something else. So good. And we're so early. We're already to this awesome content. I think what you just said too, especially with social, you know, social media, with, you know, whether or not it's probably a part of every single person listening's either personal life and or business. And that's what people are seeking, is the authenticity with businesses that they work with. And because there's so many inauthentic or, you know, imposters and so much junk to weed through. And when you show up as you, and again, that's what people want to buy from people. They want to invest in services with people. So let's talk about the advice that we need to take ourselves, that we give clients, which this is always kind of a painful one, because I will talk to a client about, you know, changes they should make to their website. And I'm like, but don't look at my website, but you should do that. Do as I say, not as I do. But what's your like number one, put you on the spot a little bit here, but like, what would you say is the biggest advice that you give clients that you struggle or have struggled to maybe take yourself? Is there anything that like comes to mind?
I honestly, the thing that I tell even not my clients, just everybody, is my biggest regret from the first year of running my business is I tried to do too much myself. And because as a marketer, marketing, I clearly have to prove that I know what I'm doing, right? Well, it turns out that doing your own stuff is really hard because you're too close to your own stuff. So I now say, and this is not to be like performative, but like, I wish I had a version of me for me. I need somebody. I wish I had somebody sooner to bounce ideas off of and to help me stretch beyond what I thought was possible. And so I think for me, the biggest thing is just really, whether it's with me, whether it's with you, whether it's with someone else in your industry, like how can you use more brains to help you stop with the cyclical doom of, I don't know what I'm doing, because that is really so limiting. Even though that's not necessarily like marketing related, but the amount of time we spend creating content, sitting on social media, putting our brand out there, how, I mean, how many hours have you sat and stared at your website being like, I don't know if this is okay. I don't like that word. I don't like this color. I don't like how this is shaped. Just having another brain is so unsticking.
Absolutely. 100%. I couldn't agree more. And I think when you add another brain, and I love the way you said that, because that's what it comes down to, because you only, fortunately and unfortunately, have yours, that it's that other perspective. But it's also in my, you know, kind of what I, and I don't even know if this is advice I give clients, but this is, I love the way you said of like your biggest regret or what you, you know, would have done differently. And I think mine relates kind of in almost a different angle, but like having a community of either people in your industry or people that can support you or anything, because it's, and again, either as a marketer or not, it's, it can be so isolating to run your own business and have your own business or trying to market and grow a business. And just like you said, doing the day-to-day of those social media posts, of your website, of your product titles and descriptions and everything, no matter what your business is, if you're doing that, what feels like alone, even though you're never, ever alone, is it's already hard. But that to me makes it so much harder, because I thrive, and, you know, humans really, I think there's studies that show humans thrive, you know, working with others and collaborating. So when you take the leap to start your own business, you know, a lot of times that means working alone, at least in the beginning. But I think surrounding yourself, you know, where it's either your weaknesses or your weak spots that you know, and or people in your industry that to have connections. And again, I think that's what's so cool about like our, you know, partnership is like to have another marketer. It's like you think you're like, oh, they're competition. I can't be, you know, you don't want to associate with that. But it's like, it's healthy to have, you know, relationships with competition. But there's also just so many different people in your space that you can connect with and kind of bounce ideas, just like you said, or have them take a look at something or see how we can help each other grow and lift each other up, and not, you know, just this competition, and it's less lonely, and then you do have another brain. So I think that is also a huge thing that I have focused on, and it's been the best part of the growth I've seen, is building relationships. And it's what I enjoy, which is convenient, but it's, you know, has made it a little less lonely than those first few months where I was like, what do I do? to, you know, just to start to figure that out. So, anyways, what else do you think, you know, when it really comes down to like, maybe like strategy or like, you know, more of like concrete, you know, marketing, maybe specifically, especially with you really helping, you know, from those first stages, you know, is there anything else that you think like is just hard as a marketer, that, you know, advice that you'd say to a client that, you know, and I'm sure, you know, again, you've been in business now for over a year, but it's like, what, you know, what else has been, you know, maybe a more tactical or, you know, more specific thing you work through with a client that like you also had to work through on your end?
I think for me, it's, the hardest thing for me is honestly visibility. It's so hard. I don't like being visible. I'm so used to, you know, being able to help other people be visible. When it comes to me, it's really hard. And so I think that that's one thing that I really found, especially with my longer term program clients, is going through and thinking about what role social media really needs to have in our strategy. And I think that, you know, when I started my business, then this is something I'm actively trying to work towards, figuring out what that looks like without burning myself out or being on social all the time and having to, you know, worry about filming all these things and being there. And so I think that one thing is just like, don't worry too much about over-indexing on social media. I think you know, it is amazing as like a paid entity. It can be amazing as an organic entity, but it really just depends on mm-hmm. what your industry is, who mm-hmm. your target market is, and what you as an individual are comfortable with. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, you know, I've been trying to wrestle with myself in my own business and my social media. It's like you just said, like, remember you were like, you just mentioned like, fix this on your website, but don't look at mine. Like, oh my gosh, please. I mean, like, I would love to have you all follow me on Instagram. If you want to see like real stuff of me once in a while. But yeah, sorry. That was a long way of saying, I think that's one thing, is like building the confidence with how you be visible, but also mm-hmm. learning how being visible exists for you.
Yep. And what you're comfortable with. And I love that you said that, because the amount of, you know, clients that I have that, you know, especially with paid social, that come to me so burnt out on organic. Like, that's honestly how I get a lot of my clients, which works yeah. for me, but it just breaks my heart, because just what you said, they think they, you know, you hear these numbers of how many times you should be posting a week, what type of content you need to be doing this. And then they also just don't know, you know, how to access. They make it so difficult to access the data. What does that data even mean? What am I even looking for here? It's inconsistent, you know, especially some clients that years ago were just absolutely getting all the views, all the sales off organic. And now algorithms change, machine learning change. These are businesses change, and now just are getting, you know, nothing, if anything, or just frustrated at obsessing over it, like you said, and that are maybe don't want to be the face, don't want to be in front of the camera, but it feels like they have to. And that's, I love that you know, you call out from the beginning of like, that's it, it doesn't have to, you don't have to do that. You don't have to go through that. And it's just so like, don't play, like, don't chase like the tactics. I think like the way to phrase it of like, it's a quality over quantity. And I say that to every time a client asks me that question of like, how often should I be posting? You know, I could throw out a number just to give you a number, but focus on the quality of what you're posting over the quantity, because all of that takes energy, takes time, takes your confidence, comfortability, whatever that is to do it. And it's going to show in the quality. So it needs to be authentic to you. And that's what matters. If that's once a month, I'd rather that be quality than five times a week at things that just aren't clear and aren't, you know, aren't authentic to you, your brand, your business, your message, et cetera. So, yeah. Social media, again, we might have to do a podcast, and I think we already have talked, like, we're going to have things that we're going to have to like just briefly touch on to make this digestible content. A lot of listening. But I'm going to like make notes of these like subtopics, because I think that one, both organic and paid, I think, a lot of business owners are just out there trying their best. I love it. We got it. If you get a package, probably.
That's my dog Tater. If you follow me on Instagram, you will see her.
You'll see Tater.
She has a lot to say about neighbors going past the house.
As she should. She needs to make that clear. But no, I do think social media in and of itself is something we'll need to record a whole episode on, because just a lot there. But let's talk a little bit more just like specifically of, I'd love to, and I know, you know, we recently did a combined webinar of like, let's tell, you know, clients, like, what are some signs you're ready to run paid advertising? What are some things you should maybe consider doing first if maybe you're not ready? So, you know, from my end, from a paid ads perspective, and again, this is why I'm so excited to just continue partnering with you, because it's hard when I get maybe a business that, you know, I want to help grow any size business, no matter where they're at, but especially ones that maybe aren't entirely sure who their audience is or what their offer is, or they can't, or they're struggling to articulate that. And it's so understandable how this happens, because someone has a really awesome idea. They have this concept, they have this thing that they want to provide. But just like you said, all the things we just talked about, to get out of your own head, to get yourself in the eyes of the client or customer, it's hard. In what we talked about in the webinar, and I love the way I think you phrase this, that I've been using, is paid is really good at magnifying like whatever is there. So if that's something that's effective and working, paid is fantastic at growing that and getting that in front of the right people. If it's something that's not there and not there, that will also be magnified. So let's talk about in the second version there of what can someone do if maybe they just don't feel comfortable, confident, who, what they're, you know, really, they know what they want to offer, but they just don't have that clear messaging, that audience. Like, what do you, this is, I know where you like, is such a huge value you provide. So like, talk to me about like, what does that look like? What should, what steps that can they take? And then what does that look like with working with someone like you that can really help them dial that in before they want to magnify that on a paid level?
Sure. I mean, I think this really starts with a figuring out what it is you're offering. Like, what is it you're offering? And sometimes you figure that out, and then you go to step B and you have to go back to it. And step B is that putting your customer hat on and thinking like your customers, really understanding what they are looking for, agnostic of you and your business. Like, what do they really want? And then using that to be able to flip it on its head for the message and what it is that you're saying to them that will resonate. And it's that resonance that is just so important. And it is a really hard thing to get. And that's where having two brains to really think through it can be really powerful, because we only have so many dimensions of our own brains. And so anything sparking new ways of looking at it can be super valuable. But once you have that message, that's where you can start seeing what works. And I think that knowing exactly what, being really confident about what you're saying and starting to see when it's working will then set you up for, it's like, oh, this stuff is starting to get a lot of traction. I'm starting to see a little bit more business come in. When I say this to people when I'm out networking, I see their eyes light up and they get really excited about it. Those are the markers where you start to realize I have something. And maybe you're having a hard time getting visibility on social media, but if you know you have something, that's really when you can start testing and thinking about if paid can help you amplify that message and get more of that visibility and do A/B testing from there. But until you've done the legwork of figuring out what am I offering, who am I offering it to, what do they want, how am I giving it to them, what does that message look like, until you've done that work and really feel good about it. And it's not a light lift, but it's something that is worth doing and worth redoing every once in a while.
Yeah.
That's, until you've done that, paid ads is just like lighting cash on fire.
Yeah, absolutely. Because just like you said, that's exactly what we do with paid ads, is testing those things that we ask, that we're looking for from you, of, you know, who is your audience? What are those messaging? You know, what has worked for you? And, you know, some clients come in, they're like, you know, these are things that I've tried, you know, maybe seen some success, this is what worked in the past. Some clients are like, I don't know. And it's like, okay, what are your value propositions? You know, and kind of getting that out so that we can test. And I love that you said test, because the way you said that, of, you know, you're at a networking event and, you know, or any opportunity to talk about your business and what you say, and you see their eyes light up. Like, to me, I got so excited, because that's testing like in real life. And, you know, in paid, like paid side, you're doing that, you know, kind of behind the scenes, you know, somewhat, but not behind the scenes, but, you know, just a little bit more technical strategy specifically with that. But I didn't even think about that. Like, we do that even just like in personal, which again is a whole different topic of conversation, but we're constantly testing approaches to how we say things, how we communicate. We see what works. We take that information and we do it again. And I've never paid attention to that, which is so funny, because I do that so much technically in testing, but to actually, and I definitely do on, you know, phone conversations, again, when it relates to like how I'm specifically selling my business, when I'm trying to sell my business, but just like out talking. And that's, you know, I know all of us know that's part of when you get, you know, that word of mouth is when you never know. And I'm definitely not paying, you know, unless I think it's probably a potential customer, I'm probably just, you know, I'm friendly, but I'm not, you know, probably articulating what I do or how it can help in a way that's like a testing and learning approach. I got my spiel down that tries to make it make sense. But I love that. Look at this, marketers. I just got, and I'm going to pay more attention, because I think that's really cool. And just like you said, that's just that foundation to have that consistency to then, you know, do it everywhere else.
Yeah. And I'm going to add on to that and say that should be a really great opportunity as well for anybody to go out and put that customer hat on. Like, that's how you get that customer voice. Like, dive deeper into why what you said. So, like, tell me more about why this is a problem for you, or tell me more about, like, what success means to you. Those live one-to-one conversations are so important, and I know people hate going to networking events. I personally love it because I'm, you know, I'm a true introvert, but I do love finding out what people are thinking. I'm a researcher first and foremost. And I think that, and that has always been one of the homework assignments I give my clients, is once we have a one-liner, is kind of what we call it, like, what is my, like, hi, I am so-and-so, and I do help, I help these people do this. They have to go to a networking event and introduce themselves and gauge how people react to it. And then we work on it again from there and see, like, whittle it down to where it starts to feel really natural and like a second skin for how they talk about themselves. And that makes a difference. So yeah, I think that, that, to your point, always testing and learning.
Yeah. No, live, I love that.
Online, everywhere.
Oh yeah. I love it. I love it. And I love that you give, and again, I don't think we've talked, you know, specifically about some of these, you know, actions and these, what you do, you know, specifically with your clients with some of these more in the weeds. And I, the fact that you're like, you're going, you're doing it. Cause I think that's what, you know, in a lot of the clients I talk to too, it's like, in a kind of what we talked about earlier, it's like you almost need in it, whether it's an accountability thing, but you need kind of someone telling you what to do and
holding the pants sometimes.
Yeah. And it's so cool to hear that you know, are doing that in a way that's, you know, here's your message, like, on paper, but no, like, you're testing this live, because again, the quality that's going to be when it comes to paid or anything they want to do to grow that, like, no, this is the message. It's not like, oh, this is the message that we, you know, it's not a casual, this is the message we threw together. This is the message because we've tested it. This is what works and we own it. And like you said, that confidence that we talked about earlier, that's how that happens, is test and trial and error. But you can't, if you don't put yourself out there, you know, then
you'll never see it work.
And yeah, none of that data.
Say, oh, that's amazing, I want to hear more about that, is just like, whew.
And then that's when you really, boost. Yeah. And then that's when, you know, especially a lot of us that are doing what we do that we love, that's where, like, we light up. Like, well let me, or where the person, you know, we're talking to lights up, and then it, you know, kind of creates that. So I love it. Anything else you think from, you know, before before we talk about, like, paid, you know, anything else that you really think is that foundational level? You know, for me, it's definitely a website that converts. And, you know, I already kind of mentioned that a little bit of my, you know, talking about my own, but, you know, anything else that you think, like, you know, are those foundational? And again, I know there's a lot that goes into all these things, but anything else you want to mention now, before you know, consider paid, that you think is, like, you know, make sure this is dialed in, either yourself or working with a professional like you to help. Anything else top of mind, or you think we covered a lot of the foundations?
The one thing we haven't touched on is knowing what your brand is. And I say brand in the sense of what your tone, look, and feel, everything about how that comes across. I think one of the things, especially when I was at an earlier job at Gartner, we did a lot of research into what the impacts were of people going from marketing to the webpage. And if there is inconsistencies in your message, if there's inconsistencies in look and feel, same goes with landing on your social media. All of these things need to cohesively work together, because if people are going from one to the other and it's not, doesn't vibe, or it doesn't reinforce what one of the other is saying, then that can be very off-putting and causes bouncing. So to your point of, like, having a high converting website, that also goes with just thinking about what your ecosystem is and how they work together. And so marketing is not just social media. Marketing is not just your website. Marketing is not just, you know, putting a billboard outside of, you know, the bus stop. It is all of those things and how they represent you and that high level thread of what your core message is and your value prop.
Absolutely. And that consistency in it. And again, the title of this podcast, how much that is a struggle as marketers, because I don't know about you, but I, again, am always wanting to test. So when I have all these marketing opportunities, whether it's my social media or my website or, you know, podcast, anything I'm doing, I constantly am having new ideas, new fresh things to test, which is a challenge them with consistency. And to me, again, I love this because it puts me in check of like how important those things are. But for someone that, what we'll say, squirrel, you know, like shiny new thing over here, it's, you know, having kind of that core foundation is so critical because it's so easy to get distracted by, because there's so much available, right? There's so much you can do to try to grow and market your business. So overwhelming amount of things. And especially when you don't really have a plan or like an accountability, you know, any sort of strategy, it's easy to just be like, oh, try this. And then, you know, you can lose that consistency. So that's a good reminder for me to, you know, again, I like to try the new thing and whatever kind of idea pops into my head, probably in the middle of the night, that I decide the next day is going to happen. And, you know, whether or not the last consistent thing that I wanted to try. So anyways, I just think, you know, you're spot on. And would I run a paid ads for myself with my lack of some of this consistency? No. But also because running paid ads for a paid ads agency, come on, I'm competing with the other people, you know. So this is why I build referrals and build relationships is, you know, been my focus. But all that to say, jokes aside, kind of, for how paid ads fit in when you're ready. And again, I was so honored to speak with some of your clients and your connections on this recently. But really, you know, I think you really nailed it. Like if, you know, if you're listening to this and you're curious whether or not you're ready for paid ads, everything Danny just said, listen there. And, you know, can you check those boxes? Can you communicate that? Have you maybe tested this messaging? Who's your audience? You know, having all these parts of your marketing. And I love that you said that because marketing has so many definitions, but it's like, it's all marketing. It's just, they play different purposes, but like, once all that's there, that's typically when you're ready for paid ads. And, you know, that's, I'm going to say this, and I hope people stick around to hear this. Try to avoid boosting a post if you're considering paid ads, because that is not a real campaign and is, you know, we brought up the example of lighting money on fire. That's, you know, typically a pretty good way to do it. You can, you know, kind of happenstance get success with that. But I recommend if anyone feels with what Danny said that they are like, yep, I got that. I feel, you know, you listen to that and you're like, heck yeah, I got this down, this messaging, this audience. You know, then paid ads are likely a really great first step. And just go with, you know, talk to different agencies, talk to different strategists, different people, because there's a lot of people, and Danny, this is something we've talked about. There's a lot of people claiming to do certain things that maybe don't actually do that. And again, what was so cool with, I think both of us is we could see, you know, pretty quickly from talking, like, you're really good at what you do. You could tell I'm good at what I do. So it helps to have referrals of like, no, this person actually does know how to do this, because there's a lot of, you know, it's 2025. There's a lot of people that we've talked about watch a YouTube video and become a marketer or become a paid advertiser and don't actually know how to do those things to drive results. So I'd say with paid, you know, just, make sure you're asking the questions and, you know, go with someone that actually is an expert, because unfortunately there's a lot of
armchair experts.
Yeah. Armchair. Yes. Yes.
And Instagram experts. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Or gurus or social media marketing is such a broad phrase that I hate now because people are using it that are, it's very broad and they're using it in ways that are not the way they're saying they are and getting people to give money for nothing. So anyways, let's talk a little bit about like where a role like yours as a marketing advisor to a paid ad strategist, which is really kind of my expertise, like where those two support each other at different stages of your business, because they do. They are both so valuable. And I love that you said revisiting with what you do, because the importance of a brand that's maybe been around 10, 15, 20 years, that message, that audience should change and evolve. really that support at different stages of, you know, again, you ideally someone like you before paid ads. But what do you think about, you know, where those kind of play roles, again, either one before the other, which we've kind of clarified, but also, you know, just on an ongoing basis?
I mean, I think it's a very cyclical thing where if you don't work with someone in a paid ad space yet, and you haven't taken the time to think about who you're, what you're selling, who you're selling it to, who it's for, how you're doing, like what message works and how you want to get in front of those people. And if paid ads actually is a viable part of that strategy for you and your industry and what it is that you're trying to achieve, then you need to work with somebody to be able to figure that out and button it down before you do that. And then I love to send my clients your way so that once we have that, it's activated, it's tested and learned, we've tested and learned and figured it all out, that you can then help take it on. Now, just like you said, the world is changing. Your customers are ever changing with what they're looking for. You are probably changing with what makes you happy in your own business. And maybe you, I've started branching into a slightly different market, but you haven't touched your website in a year. I mean, there's a lot of that happening. Or maybe you're in an industry that has AI like chomping on your heels, where you need to start thinking about a different way of repositioning yourself to get ahead and differentiate yourself as a human, which is another layer of messaging. So things are constantly in flux. And so it's always worth taking a minute and thinking about what that new you actually, whether you as a person, you as a business, you in the market, what that looks like. Even if you've been running paid ads successfully for a decade, you can still always be revisiting and refreshing and making sure you're staying ahead instead of catching up after you've fallen behind.
Beautiful. And I'm like, I'm going to highlight whatever, everything you just said, because I think so many brands, just like you said, end up getting behind, because what always works isn't what's going to always work. And again, especially with technology, we're moving quicker than we ever have. And it's going to only continue, just like you said, with, especially with AI and machine learning and everything that's, you know, helping technology advance, is also how some businesses are already behind and are going to continue to get behind if they don't stay consistent with updating that and staying on top of it. And, you know, I think I've talked to some of my clients about, you know, their customers also evolve. And you kind of mentioned this too, of like, your customers 10 years ago may, you know, depending on what you sell or what you offer, may not be in the market for your product anymore. The way you attracted and spoke to that customer 10 years ago is very different than that same persona, if you will, same age person now, very different. And if that's not evaluated, like you said, I would say at least yearly, of how you're talking to them, who they are, what their pain points are, your competition is, and they're going to speak to them and they're going to get them. So I just think that's just such good advice. And it's so, you know, just like you said, whether or not you're dialed in with your marketing, whether or not you're doing paid, whatever it is, just don't lose sight of, you know, that consistency and that messaging, because your competitors aren't going to, and your customers can't read your mind. And even if 10 years ago, you know, this was working, it's probably not now. I think it's probably a safe assumption, or not the same way. So, whew, that was good. I liked, I think you're my marketing. We've talked about this. You're my marketing therapist. We need this.
It goes both ways.
We need that other brain. Yeah, go for it.
I mean, I'd love to ask you a question about kind of the refresh, because I'm sure you often see, you know, I'm going to put this out there, paid ads is not my forte. I know how they play into the space, but as far as execution of these, I don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. And it's one of the things that I suggest everybody, if they are to do it, hire someone amazing like Emma, because it is very easy to light on fire. But anyways, I'm sure you see a lot of ad fatigue and how, like, sometimes the message just really wears out after a while. Yeah. And so in general, have you seen how long before that happens, or what are the markers where, okay, you know what, this is tired, it's time to start and thinking a little bit differently about what this is?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a great question. We definitely see ad fatigue, and there's all sorts of, you know, KPIs or key performance indicators we see in ad performance to tell us that. And some of those are, you know, people are seeing our ads more often and not clicking. And it's like, all right, something's not resonating. And so what we do to kind of combat that proactively is always testing. We're always testing different ad types is usually kind of our go-to, but different messaging, you know, typically we are testing, you know, just always testing something. So that way, once something is sleeping, we don't then have everything, you know, kind of dropping. It's like, well, this one's working. This one, you know, it's constant. I tell my clients too, it's like, you know, when one thing starts to kind of float to the top, something floats to the bottom, we replace the bottom and something new float, you know, it's like this kind of rotation. Yeah. And I need to probably like put that into a visual, because it's, always testing, so that way when we do start to see signals that something's getting sleepy or something's not resonating, we already have something that we're testing that's, you know, an up and comer that can kind of take, you know, that spot, and then we can kind of replace. So to continue to test, because that's truly where that scale and growth happens and again, you can't test without having something to test. So I think that's with what you're doing. It's like, you know, when I come to clients like, hey, we want to test, you know, this, that, and it's like, we don't need, we do a lot of that for our clients, but you have to have something to work with. And that's where we struggle when it's, you do need to be testing and learning to continue to grow. When we don't have that foundation to work with, makes that a lot harder, because there's a lot less to work with to test, you know, what's needed to keep up with it. So let's talk, you know, and I think this is a really cool way to like wrap. I want to talk about like how people can get help, because this is, you know, a lot of what we talked about is like, we need help. We know businesses need help, but let's just like, I want to ask you, if you listening to this, or if you're giving advice to yourself, what would you say, like, what would be, and I know this is, again, I'm putting you on the spot, the, like you said, kind of your elevator pitch or your line to say, like, encouragement to a business owner that's listening to this and is overwhelmed by marketing themselves, marketing their business? Like, what would you say to them? And you have like 1 to 2, you don't have to keep it to 1 to 2 cents. So like, what would be like your, like, if you're going to take anything away from this, what should it be?
I think if you should take anything away, you are too close to your own stuff. And in order to figure out what you're selling, who you're selling it to, how you're positioning it and packaging it to them, and how you're getting in front of those people, that is what having someone who actually understands the mechanics of what's happening behind the scenes in marketing can be invaluable at helping you actually get whatever you're doing out into market faster, so you can start making money and spend more time doing what you love. Because let's face it, we all went into what we do to do what we love, and we're finding ourselves spending 70% of our time doing our own marketing. And I want to help people not do that. So yes, you're too close to your own stuff. So let someone help you really unravel everything.
I love that. No, I love that. And I would say that, you know, a lot of why we want to do this too is like, if people are feeling overwhelmed or uncertain, like, you're not alone. And that's where, you know, what we talked about, this marketers, marketing, like, hopefully hearing from marketers that do this for a living, that have done this for a living, that help businesses grow, we still are struggling with some of these things ourselves and feel overwhelmed with these things. And you're not behind. You're building a business, you're building a brand. And just like you said, there's so much support and experts out there to help you do that. And don't do it alone, because again, we only have one brain. And just like you said, you're too close to it, and you're the expert in what you do, but let people help you shine it to everywhere it needs to reach. Speaking of reaching, Danny, how can you help? How can people get a hold of you? They're like, yes. And I would recommend, if you're listening to this, schedule a call with Danny, because again, I am so grateful that we just have this, you know, awesome partnership. I get to these tidbits from being, you know, I would say a friend and partner with you. But you know, what could someone do to get a hold of you and kind of get that conversation started?
Sure. I would love to have free strategy consultations to talk through like what you're dealing with, where you're trying to go, and see where that gap is. You can head to my website, www.miseenplan.com. You can find me on Instagram at miseenplan, miseenplan. And you're welcome to email me at danielle@miseenplan.com. So any way you want to get in touch with me, I am here for you.
Awesome. And we'll have everything linked, you know, wherever, where all the places we're posting this. And then once you got that down with Danny, or if you're listening and you happen to have all that down, get a hold of us here at Fiddle Leaf if you're ready to kind of grow and take that next step to, you know, get that, amplify that message and get your brand in front of more potential customers. And please, I know it's an open invitation with you, Danny, too. If anyone has any questions or wants to connect with either of us, again, we have all the ways to reach us, all the traditional ways, social media, websites, phone calls. But just ask questions or, you know, collab. Like we said, we're always looking to just network and meet other marketers or, you know, small business owners. We're both really passionate about what we do. And, you know, we're here to support, right?
We are. It's our favorite. That's why we got into what we do. We love to help.
Yes. Awesome. Well, Danny, thank you so much for talking with me. I know this is one we need to do this. And it was one of those, like, let's get it scheduled. I'm very excited because I think there's a couple topics we probably could have talked hours on, and then we can, you know, maybe break out some more conversations. But thank you again, and I'm excited to do this again soon.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This has been so much fun, and I can't wait to do more of it. Stay tuned for the unabridged 5-hour version of our marketing chats.